السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, have you ever come across someone that you met for the first time and immediately you had an impression on that individual in the negative sense, meaning you didn't find yourself hanging around with that person, you didn't like the chemistry between yourself and that person, and subhanAllah, a little while later, you started feeling different about that man, you start actually drawing closer to him, loving him perhaps, subhanAllah. And the opposite is also true. Sometimes you meet people that you fall in love instantly, and a little while later, you started feeling, not so much, right? This was my story with my mother-in-law. Believe it or not, she wasn't a resemblance of my wife. As much as I adored my wife, her character, her personality, and everything else surrounding this lady, subhanAllah, I didn't feel the same thing about my mother-in-law. And this is the story of today's episode, a lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taught me that I will never forget. Because that lesson took me 16 years to learn. Stick around to know the entire story on Story Podcast with Wael Ibrahim. The story actually began when my wife embraced Islam, as I narrated to you in the first episode. And when I left music, when I abandoned that industry and started taking my faith seriously. By the way, those who didn't listen to the first episode or watched it on YouTube, I will be leaving links in the description of this episode, inshallah ta'ala. But this is how the story began. My wife embraced Islam. We remained in China where we used to reside for a while. And then the time comes for us to visit the Philippines. Not only that, but for my wife to appear with her hijab for the first time in front of all her family members and neighbors and so on. And this is where I started to observe my mother-in-law closely, because my mother-in-law, prior to even getting to know me, all what she knew about Islam was negative. She was actually told or taught that Muslims, when they get angry, they chop off heads and do ugly, violent acts and so on and so forth. So that's all what my mother-in-law knew about Islam. In fact, my wife told me that this is what they knew about Islam even before getting to know me. So my wife was observing me as much as I was observing her, and that created this barrier between us. Like, I was not so comfortable in her presence, and I believe that she wasn't at all comfortable with me, because that's what she knew about Muslims. Not only that, but I was from the Middle East. You know, I was born in Egypt, so all what she also knew about the Arabs is that they are barbaric people who are, when they get angry, they do a lot of unthinkable stuff and so on. So we weren't really bonding well. But I also observed in the life of my mother-in-law certain qualities that I started to admire. Number one, for example, she was so kind-hearted and generous. Now, forget about me being in the picture, but I started seeing her helping people in need in the neighborhood, despite the fact that she herself wasn't a well-off lady. She wasn't having too much on her plate. But whatever she has will always be shared with those who need. And that was a quality that I observed instantly. Every morning, in fact, she would be outside as if she's checking on the neighbors. You know, she was a bossy lady, mashallah tabarakallah. She was really a very strong woman. Everyone used to fear her. But despite her strong character and personality, she had that spot in her heart that made people really love her so much. And that is the kindness / generosity quality that she possessed. And these qualities were really highlighted in her character whenever I visited the Philippines and spent some time with her. Her generosity, her kindness toward others, and that spot of care about everyone else around her, subhanAllah, even though she didn't have much. But another thing that I liked and I admired about my mother-in-law was her curiosity. She used to be absolutely curious about everything. And sometimes her curiosity will take her to spaces where she would go a lot personal and invade your privacy. That was her. But I'm referring to another type of curiosity that would always push her to ask questions, especially about faith. Because when I started inviting her to Islam and talking to her about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so on, she would not just let the conversation flow without posing questions, serious questions. She was really sincere. You can sense her sincerity by simply evaluating the types of questions that she used to ask about Islam, about the Quran, about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so on. She started even to inquire about books to read. She used to love reading. And this is another quality that I admired about my mother-in-law. At her age, where she was retired, sitting home most of the time, a person would not be inclined to learning and inquiring and seeking and so on. But she was that type of a person who would really love to read anything and everything that she would lay her hand on. And that's a quality for an old person in her age at the time was commendable. And she would not only read and just leave the books right there. She sometimes would call me all the way from the Philippines. We used to live in China, as I indicated earlier. And she would just call to ask questions that I have read something here about this and that. And then she would ask questions. She used to be very curious about the hereafter. She used to ask a lot of questions about after death. She used to ask a lot of questions about the reward. She used to ask a lot of questions about the past. Because my brothers and sisters, Islam, let us face it, we all have history. We all have got this dark, ugly history in our lives that we wanted to forget, we wanted to erase. And many a times, people would not feel comfortable repenting and going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of these ugly histories. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Tell them, O Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, tell my servants who have transgressed against themselves, who have done awful acts in the past, who have sinned day in and day out, tell those people, the sinners, despair not from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah forgive all sins. Why is that so? Some people may ask, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever ready to forgive and let go of our past? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concluded this ayah by reminding us of His qualities, because indeed He is the most forgiving, most merciful. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she used to be very curious and worried about making any changes in her life because of what she did in the past, or because of whatever she might have done in the past that always would pull her back if she thought to decide making a change in her life. I used to always push her to embrace Islam. I would call her sometimes all the way from China, telling her, isn't it time, Nanay? This is a term that the Filipinos use for elderly mothers. Nanay, would you not embrace Islam? Isn't it time for you to do so? You already knew a lot. You've been reading a lot and so on. So my mother-in-law would always tell me, maybe later. And that later took her 16 years or more, reflecting, thinking, considering. And I will never forget this day, because one day we were talking and she said that if I decided to embrace Islam, there is no one except you who would help me to take Shahada. No one. I will call you when I feel that it is the right time. Many a times my mother-in-law would fall sick. She would be rushed to the hospital, high blood, stroke, this and that. And I will always use these opportunities or seize these opportunities to, you know, of course, pay her a visit or call her if I'm not in town and talk to her and check on her health and seize these opportunities to remind her to become a Muslim. Because we never know, my brothers and sisters in Islam, those who are listening out there, we never know when is our time is going to come, when we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every human soul, every soul in fact, will have a taste of death. We're all going to face this reality, death, but we don't know when. And that was my concern. I was always worried that my mother-in-law would die without taking shahada. And I started visualizing this. I started imagining that this is what's going to happen. I started even losing hope that my mother-in-law would one day call me and fulfill that promise that, hey, if I wanted to become a Muslim one day, I will call you, she said. I will call you. No one will help me take shahada but you. That's what she told me. But I lost hope. And this is actually the lesson that I wanted to teach in this episode, that no matter what happened in your life, my brothers, my sisters in Islam, I know that I'm talking now to some people perhaps who have their own parents as non-Muslims or their own siblings or their own children. And they have reached to that point that I have reached to earlier, where I lost hope completely that my mother-in-law one day will ever take shahada. I already fixed it in my mind. I visualized the fact that my mother-in-law is going to die as a non-Muslim, and she will be buried with non-Muslims, and my wife would be grieved and sad that she won't be able to make a dua for her beloved mother. I already had this fixed in my mind and brain. Subhanallah, there was no doubt in my heart that anything else will happen other than this. And that's the lesson. Allah taught me the greatest lesson in life. Wallahi, one of the greatest lessons in life is when my mother-in-law suffered another stroke. But this time it was a bit tough. My wife had to fly to check on her mother in the Philippines, admitting her to the hospital and so on, looking after her and so on and so forth, and then coming back to Perth. And I remember one day we were having dinner and we received a phone call, and my wife answered her mobile phone, and it was her mom. And her mother told her, give me Wael. She asked to speak with me. And I took the phone immediately, and my mother-in-law was barely breathing. She was breathing very heavily. You can sense the urgency in her tone. You can see that her heart is racing. And she starts saying, now it's the time. Now it's the time. I wanted to embrace Islam now. Oh, wallahi, my brothers and sisters, Islam, I couldn't believe my ears. So I repeated the question. I started repeating the same question again and again. Nana, are you ready to become a Muslim? Are you willing to become a Muslim? Okay, repeat after me, I said. Repeat after me over the phone. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And slowly, slowly, my mother-in-law started to repeat the words. And I offered the translation. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And because I memorized the Shahada in Tagalog, in the Filipino language, I even repeated that to her, word for word. Akoy sumasaksi, nawalang Diyos, nawalang dabat sambahin, kundi si Allah at akoy sumasaksi na si Propeta Muhammad ay sugo ni Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then I was in tears and in joy, and I was over the moon. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Then it hits me. I remember her promise. And I remember also a few other things that became lessons for others, subhanAllah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all her life and the time that she spent reflecting on Islam and the time that she spent as a Muslim on planet Earth, may Allah make all of that in the scale of her good deeds. Because I'm using her story now to remind those people who are still reflecting that life is very short to waste. Time is not guaranteed. You never know when will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call you back to Him. But the lesson which I talked to you about earlier, one of the most important lessons that I've learned as a result of this story, is that never ever think that you own the hearts of others. Never ever imagine or visualize people going to hellfire, wal'iyadhu billah, just because they have rejected your calls a few times, even if that time was 16 years or more. Doesn't matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need to explain His wisdom behind executing things in the manner that He intended. He doesn't need to. Your job is to do da'wah. Your job is to remind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرْ. So remind them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's our job, is to remind the people. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. Your job is only to remind. That's your job. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرْ. You have no control over them. Your job is to remind. So don't ever think that one day you're going to guide people. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, you don't guide whom you love. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whom He will. And alhamdulillah, after my mother embraced Islam, after my mother-in-law embraced Islam, she lived on this earth for about a year or less, or a little bit more. I don't remember exactly how long she lived after this. And she passed away as a Muslim. And she was buried as a Muslim. And the community in the Philippines, alhamdulillah, the brothers, the sisters who gathered around her in the masjid to wash her body, to shroud her, to pray for her, testified that although she was a stubborn lady during her lifetime, she ended up her life right as a Muslim, alhamdulillah. And I believe my wife was the happiest to hear the news of my mother-in-law becoming a Muslim and dying as a Muslim, because now she don't have any guilt in her to raise up her hands in dua, in sujood, and make dua for her beloved mother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good ending, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also enable us to learn from this story, to learn that we shouldn't delay our decision. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave my mother-in-law 16 years to reflect and to think and to make that decision, He may not give others the same time. So you better seize the opportunity before it's too late. I remember my mother-in-law would be sitting and I would ask her, don't you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and only? She would say, yes, I do believe. Don't you believe, Nanai, that the messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a true prophet, a true messenger? She would say, yes. Don't you believe that Jesus Christ is the prophet of Allah, not his son, not God himself? Yes, I do believe that he's the messenger of God. Don't you believe now that the Quran is the word of God? She would say, yes, I do believe. So I would then conclude by telling her, so repeat after me now and say, Ashhadu, I bear witness that Allah is one and Muhammad is his messenger. Take Shahada now. She would say, no, maybe later. Maybe when I get sick and I feel that it's the end, only then I will take Shahada. That was her thinking back then. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was preparing her for this final moment, for Islam, for Shahada, for dying as a Muslim. Those opportunities may not be given to others. So one of the lessons that we should all bear in mind is that whenever you recognize the truth, grab it. Don't delay that decision. Otherwise, you may die in a different state. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon my mother-in-law, upon all those who passed upon Islam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a heart that would be receptive to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept its rules, accept the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and follow it to the best of our ability until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٌ. On that day where no children, no wealth will avail us in the least, except for those who will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with pure heart. May Allah make us among them. Ameen, ameen, ameen. جزاكم الله خيراً. And see you next episode, inshallah. And by the way, if you have a story worth sharing, please drop me an email at info@awareacademy.com.au and tell me your story. Perhaps it will make its way to Story Podcast with Wael Ibrahim. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.